Coffee break.
I don't think it counts as a break if we haven't started doing anything yet.
Yes, it does. Coffee break. All right. Welcome to I'm Trying to Think, episode 3. I am your host, Chuck Warner, and with me, as always, is Dave Stern. Say hello, Dave.
Hey, people.
People. Hey, people.
Yeah, I'm being optimistic about our audience.
Hey, person. I'm Trying to Think is sponsored by the Foundation Institute. Check foundation-institute.org, and you can visit I'm Trying to Think on the web at Dave.
I'm Trying to Think.com. No punctuation.
Yeah, there's no apostrophes in the web. I guess people are unaware of this. I was asked this week of
whether there are apostrophes in the web.
Not explicitly, but if you could find I'm Trying to Think, if it was I apostrophe M, and I was like, no. Yeah, that will get you nowhere.
That's not a thing, no.
I mean, if you have a good browser, it might interpret it properly and redirect you, but, you know, I'm not going to take chances there. So, Dave, let's lead off. This week you have a topic of, I believe it's a matter of etiquette.
It is. As regular listeners know, I often come to Chuck here with questions of etiquette. And I'm considering that I've done it once and there have been 2 episodes, I realize that I'm kind of stretching the definitions of regular and often.
We'll be at 66% though after this.
Roll with me, yeah.
And anybody who knows the both of us would say, why in the world are you going to Chuck with etiquette questions?
That's a good question.
And I have the answer to that. Because you're not looking for right answers. You're looking for funny answers.
Yeah, I'm looking for insight that may not be correct, but yeah, actually, there's really no but. I'm just looking for insight that's not correct.
There you go. All right, start us off.
So, basically, the basic question I have it's about boring conversations about work. Specifically, I mean like a specific type of them. You know, for starters, we're going to assume that, you know, you're not a firefighter, you're not a space captain, you know, it's a normal, you know, you work in an office, you go to a job.
You know, I know a person who is a firefighter, and their...
Are his stories mostly just boring?
They're extremely boring. His stories are the worst. But anyways, go ahead. Because, I mean, even going to a fire and putting out a fire is not really all that exciting. It's, you know, it's necessary, it's great that they do it, it's brave to go into a burning building. That doesn't mean it's always exciting, though.
Right, sometimes just, well, yeah, we put the water and the foam on it, and then the fire went out.
The fire went away, yeah. And it turns out that a lot of fire people spend a lot of time not doing anything.
Well, yeah, there's only so many fires in a day.
Yeah, it just makes me think of the Ghostbusters. Maybe because they were in a fire station.
Yeah, that's exactly why. I mean, it's 100% likely because they were in a fire station.
Because, you know, for a long... Like, they didn't have any work, and then all of a sudden it poured on. But unlike ghost infestations, firefighters do not have fire infestations, where, you know, like, fire elementals come up from the plains and burn everything. Okay, I've gone off topic.
Yeah,
now.
I will say that dousing... Just to close that, I'll say that dousing makes me feel good.
Dousing makes me feel good.
Moving on. Well, moving back. And yeah, I'm talking about a really specific kind of work story. Basically, I would say that most people have heard, well, everyone has had them told to them, and probably everyone's told them at some point.
All right.
There's the kind of thing that basically, like if I was talking to you, it would go about on the level of, okay, so Barb, you know, I told you about Barb, you know, she's an accountant. So she said that we have to, you know, put these reports, you know, in this basket. And I was like, oh my god, not again. You know, and so on and so forth. You know, that story.
Who's Barb? You've never told me about her before.
No, I mean, I don't actually work with people, because, you know, that went poorly, so now I work, like, in my home. But I thought maybe
you had hired a butler. I was being theoretical. A servant, because...
Because my lease says I should.
Yeah, I know that your lease has a lot of rules regarding servants, so...
No, I feel like... Barb is an office name. Barb isn't a servant name.
All right, well, moving on.
Okay, yeah. But that kind of conversation. Basically, it's the kind where the point is clearly not to have a dialogue with someone or to interest someone. It's just 100% you want to vent about your work thing. So basically, the other person listening at all is an indulgence.
Right.
You know, it is a kindness.
That's most conversations for me, but go ahead.
So, my question then is, when is it appropriate to start having that conversation with someone? Because, you know, for me at least, and I'm asking this because, you know, if, you know, a friend is giving me that, you know, this conversation, you know, I'll indulge them, you know, they keep talking, it's like, yeah, uh-huh, no, oh, she didn't, you know, so on and so forth.
Actually, Dave, it's great that you came to me with this.
Mm-hmm.
I already have the answers.
Uh-huh.
All right, so the appropriate time to have this conversation with someone, if you're a male and they're a male, never.
Right.
Never. Now, this, of course, I'm not being sexist here. I'm just applying our rules of culture, which are sexist. So it's not my fault.
That's a nice little end around of you being sexist, but continue.
All right, continuing on. If you're a female and you're speaking to another female, always.
Right.
For no good reason, but always is appropriate. If you're a female and you're speaking to a male, if you've been dating for 3 years.
3 years is your cutoff?
Or if you're living together. 3 years, not living together. 1 year, living together. Actually, really, as soon as you move in together, regardless of how long you've been, he's already signed up for that. He's screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not me being sexist, just stating the rules of our culture. I don't like them any more than you, Dave.
I don't know, because I will say, I've definitely had this boring conversation thrown at me by people with penises.
Okay, that's terrible, is all I'm saying, according to the rules of our culture. Actually, that's terrible even not according to the rules of our culture, because I don't want to hear these conversations
from
ever.
Anybody.
It doesn't matter who you are. Unless they end in hilarity, which they never do.
No.
So if you're a male, and you're telling these stories to a female, it's, again, the same rules as the female. If you've been dating for 3 years, or if you've been dating for 1 year and you live together, really, again, any time you move in together, it's appropriate for a male to have this conversation with a female. But there's a stipulation. The conversation can only last for about a minute, and it should end in mumbling. So, actually, it shouldn't even last a minute. Really, 10 seconds is about where you want to go. So, Joe came in, and he hadn't done his monthly expense report. And he comes to me, and he's like, can you get me those stubs?
Yeah.
That's how the conversation should go.
Okay, that's acceptable.
Right. Again, rules of our culture. In my culture, we would never we'd wear Lucite sandals, and we'd wear robes, and we would never talk about work.
Which is Lucite, that's going to be like translucent or transparent?
It's like a plastic, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm saying translucent or transparent?
Translucent more.
What color?
I think clear. I think, you know, just clear, opaque. Or not opaque, but clear, you know, white maybe hint to it, but you know what I mean.
Robes also clear?
No. The robes are generally a white. It's possible that you may be wearing robes that where the color speaks to your station in the society.
What happens when you turn 30?
Nothing. No, we don't enforce mandatory deaths. On the other hand, if we have problems with overpopulation, what we do is when you turn 30, maybe 40, depends on the age, we start shipping you off to other planets.
Okay.
So you get to live on Earth for a while, but then depending on population problems, you gotta go.
Colony, like, old prime.
Right. It's like Cocoon on another planet without Steve Guttenberg.
Also no cocoons. They just get older.
Did the movie Cocoon have cocoons? I'm
gonna
be honest
with you. Pretty sure it did.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I've never seen the movie Cocoon.
I'll be honest with you. I haven't seen the movie Cocoon either, but I've seen humorous clips from the movie Cocoon with Wilford Brimley in them mostly. And from what I gather, the plot is old people get put in cocoons, and the cocoons make them either younger, or they feel younger, or they just get horny. I don't remember. It's something
It could be all three.
It could be. It's some combination
because
of those things.
Let me tell you the worst possible fountain of youth.
you, a cocoon?
You physically get younger, but you don't feel younger.
So you're just...
So it's like, oh, great. You've got another 60 years of osteoporosis, arthritis. Right.
And 60 years feel like crap.
And crabbing at people on your lawn. Right. Uh-huh. That's the worst fountain of youth.
Okay, so anyhow, as we were saying about boring conversations about work.
Right.
Here's a couple sort of sub-questions about that that I have. Because, you know, I can quibble with your time frames, I can quibble with your rampant sexism if I have to, but, you know, I'm basically on...
Rampant sexism?
Rampant, sir.
Dave, I believe that I said those are the rules of our culture and that I have nothing to do with them.
Yeah, okay, I understand. Lucite sandals, equality.
Right.
But, okay, moving on. But basically the point that I was trying to make while accusing you of rampant sexism...
Rampant sexism, Dave!
No, we just... Okay, anyhow... Moving on again, but actually not even referring back to what we're moving on from, so we don't kind of loop around again.
Rampant sexism!
God damn it! Okay, anyhow. couple sort of sub-questions that I have about that are... One, and this is for the situation where you're pretty much, you know... This is pretty much for the relationship situation of this, where you're in it for the long haul, and, you know, it's inappropriate to just not deal with it. Is when do you have, like, in terms of the courtesies you give, obviously paying full attention, really thinking about it, responding, not an option. No, too boring. But do you give the courtesy of picking out names and associating them with, like, broad categories of, like, good guy, bad guy? So you can just kind of hear, you know, you're sort of half tuning out, like, murmur, 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 Brad, and you're just like, oh, no, he didn't. Brad. That kind of thing. Or do you just not even bother with that?
That's terrible. Oh, man. In my opinion, Dave, you don't deal with any of this. Because if you're in a good, solid relationship, you have this wonderful button that is called, I love you, honey, but... And you just press that button. You say, I love you, honey, but this is the most boring story I've ever heard.
It's true.
If you're in, I think a good relationship includes that button. Because I know I could be as boring as hell, so I certainly don't want to bore the person I supposedly love, you know. But I think some people in marriages do.
That's true, but on the other hand, I feel like these conversations, sort of psychologically, for people saying them, do have a purpose. Because otherwise, everyone wouldn't goddamn do it.
The purpose is venting.
Yeah, so
the thing is,
do you have to let them vent a little? Like, do you have to let someone vent?
They should have somebody at work to vent to.
Because that person will know that players without a scorecard.
Right, and
that
takes
kind of thing.
That's like 24/7 working in an office. I know you worked in an office for a short time. I've been working in the same office for 4 years now, basically. It'll be 4 years in October.
Right.
You got to do that. You got to have the ring of like wine. Right? So, like, person A and does something, person B doesn't like it, so person B goes to person C, et cetera, person C goes to person D to complain about person C saying, you know, et cetera.
I will say, actually, having worked in the sort of office team environment that I did for only a couple months, that 100% coalesced. That absolutely happened.
Yeah, it doesn't take long.
Yeah.
And it should exist. It is how we operate as human beings. I have a wonderful position where I just kind of sit in the back of the office, so I'm not visually present for people to remind themselves to complain about me or to complain to me.
Yeah, because it's true, because you do kind of get your hate receptors in your brain get refreshed when you
right.
say, that guy.
Right, and I'm one of two technical people out of a team of, like, 17 or something like that, so... You know, we're kind of cut off from the rest of the group, so it works out
for everyone's good.
Right.
For everyone's good. That's just good for everybody.
It is good for everybody. But it means that, you know, the office drama kind of takes place around me, and I often have to play a lot of catch-up to be like, wait. How did this all start again?
Started with the memo, Chuck.
Memo.
Don't you remember the memo?
I did not get the memo.
Oh, we got to start CCing you on that memo.
You got to CC me on the memo. Otherwise, I'm not going to read the memo. Actually, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to read the memo anyways. But that's how that goes. And it's an unfortunate thing that people have to complain about things. I mean, actually, it's probably a good thing they complain about things. Because if nobody complained about anything, Lucite sandals, robes, suicide booths. You know what I mean?
Vaguely.
And those suicide booths would be crowded. So, yeah, that's my etiquette tip for you. You know, I know it's based in our sexist culture, but I have no control over that.
Yeah, what the hell? Rampant.
Rampant sexist culture. Rampantly sexist culture. Is that right?
I don't think so, but that's okay.
All right, well, I'm glad you came to me, though, Dave. It's good to have all the answers. Well, I've been working in a coal mine. Back to I'm Trying to Think, episode 3 with Chuck Warner and
Dave Stern.
Dave Stern.
Did we need to reset all of that after just the first segment? Are people already like, I don't remember who these people are or what why it's important?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You got to keep that going.
Yeah, attention spans these days with the tootin', the tweetin', and the internets. Attention spans. See, you can tell how bad mine is, judging by how many times I had to say attention spans in that sentence, just to remind myself what I was talking about.
Right.
Otherwise, and just mid-sentence, I'd have trailed off into a mumble, because I wouldn't have remembered.
Pausing for station identification, basically.
Right.
And we are that station of identification, or something.
Something like that, yeah.
So, I saw a movie this week, and I know you've seen it as well. It is a low-budget film. It's available on the Netflix and instant watch, and I think it's even available on the YouTubes.
Possibly, I don't know. I know when I saw it back in, you know, the technological dark ages of, you know, the 2008, we watched it on DVD.
Oh my. The movie is called...
No, here's what's going to blow your mind.
Uh-oh.
We watched it on DVD that we rented from a store.
From a store, Dave?
A store.
You're being ridiculous.
A store.
Ridiculous.
I know, but continue.
So the movie is called Primer, and it is a very low budget.
Actually, here's something. Is it Primer or Primer?
Primer?
I don't know.
Primer's not a word.
No, Primer's a word, I think. I don't know. I could just be flat out wrong. And the thing, like, I think is a Primer is pronounced Primer also.
The word Prim? If something were Primer than something else, there'd be two M's, surely.
No, I'm just thinking one who
prims.
No, that's not actually what I was thinking, but
that's good because I also don't think that's a word.
No, that's not a concept. Okay, right. Yeah, I'm willing to just say that I don't know what I'm talking about and move on. Continue. Yeah,
if you have something that you pump up to start a gasoline
engine, that's a primer.
That's a primer.
What about like an education?
That's a primer.
That's a primer.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you have a paint that goes on before another paint,
that's a primer.
That's a primer. Okay. The idea is to prime. Now, here's the thing. I don't know why it's called Primer. I really don't have any idea. I don't know why it would be called Primer, though, either, so.
Yeah, that doesn't make...
Either way, you're screwed.
Especially because the thing I thought was pronounced Primer is totally still just pronounced Primer, apparently.
Yeah, that's all right. The movie was apparently made for about $7,000. This is what the rumors I've heard.
No,
I believe it after watching it.
I will say, I can confirm, actually, after having, I think, at some point I read slightly more about it.
Mm-hmm.
It was made for about $7,000. They actually still, despite that, shot it on 35mm actual film. Like, it's not digital in any way.
Oh, that's pretty good, then.
And they did
I don't know.
I mean, it's more impressive because that's more expensive. That's way more expensive.
Ah, well.
And they did it just by apparently psychotically, meticulously planning each shot. So they picked it all up in, like, one take, I think, each, and, you know, no wasted film, basically, or almost no wasted film.
You wouldn't, hopefully, need too many takes in most of the shots. But anyways, the movie's pretty simple, but it is about time travel. And that's kind of where the simplicity
ends. I feel like when you say the movie's simple...
It's made simply, with simple...
The movie is frustratingly complex, I would say.
I wasn't frustrated, but it is very complex. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's simple as far as its production.
Right.
Simple production values. Nobody you've ever heard of is in this movie, for instance.
No, it's like the guy who directed it and...
Probably his buddies.
Yeah.
So, the movie's about time travel, though. So, it's about a guy who accidentally finds time travel. And, you know, maybe there'll be some spoilers here. And then, you know... Sorry. Not big spoilers.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be spoiler-free. Yeah, it would be spoiler-free to say my version of the movie as I understood it, and then I've seen it a while ago, so forgot it. So,
go ahead.
I'll say, there's these guys, they invent a machine, turns out it time travels, then some stuff happens.
That's accurate. But what I wanted to just say, and it's not really spoilery, is to say that the movie, you'll basically watch the movie and have this thought process like, oh, this is happening. Wait, no, wait, wait. Yeah, wait, no. This is no, wait. Okay, that's what happened. Wait, yeah, okay, that's what happened. Then you watch it a second time, and you realize, no, wait, that's what happened. But it bears the second viewing, and it's very helpful. So it's a very, you know, it's paradox and time traveling, people who time travel, and that, you know, blah, blah, blah. Kind of logic problem that always comes up in a time travel movie, like, you know, if Marty McFly makes out with his mom, et cetera, et cetera. Then his grandpa dies. But
and then where is he?
Who knows? The thing I was thinking about, though, was if we had $7,000 and we made a movie, now, we have to assume that you and I, Dave, in this imaginary world, would know anything about making movies.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What would that movie be about? What would entail? $7,000 movie. Because we don't have much.
Yeah, because I will say, here's the problem for me right off the bat, just in even conceptualizing this.
All right.
Is, and this happens to me a lot when I sort of step into a consumer realm that I'm not aware of, and it always makes me nervous and weird.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea how much anything involved with making a film costs or should cost.
You don't have to for this exercise.
Like,
just
that
know
confuses me.
That it would basically be the quality and production of Primer. So we wouldn't have any big budget stars, explosions. No special effects of any kind, really.
Right.
We're trying to make an interesting movie here.
We make special effects with cellophane?
Yes. But I'll tell you what we can't make. The Big Chill, okay? It can't be boring. So it has to be something good. No, like, low concept, you know, people sitting around a water cooler chatting, Clerks-style BS.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a real movie.
So we're not making a mumblecore movie.
Right. No mumblecore.
I haven't actually seen a lot of the movies that are literally classified in that genre, so I don't have a strong opinion on it. But I can tell you one thing. I'm glad that we live in a world in which people needed to figure out a way to describe a sort of series of films that they felt were related in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And then the word mumblecore happens.
That's a good word for describing those films, I think. Regardless, and I'm going to challenge you further here. It's science fiction. What do we do?
Okay, so it is sci-fi.
It's going to be sci-fi.
Okay, here's a thought then.
All right.
If it's sci-fi, and I understand this from A Scanner Darkly, which admittedly was not a super cheap film, but was low budget for Hollywood.
Right.
If it's sci-fi, and if it's interesting enough, we can get Keanu Reeves to work on it for scale, because he's really cool that way.
Yeah,
but...
Do we want to? I'm going to say no.
Because that's still probably more than $7,000.
Yeah, I watched A Scanner Darkly, and he was fine in it. But I don't want Keanu Reeves in my movie playing Keanu Reeves.
Okay, yeah, so you don't want to think of... Because, I mean, why that movie, and honestly why any good Keanu Reeves movie works, is because there's a place in the script where there's a puzzle piece hole, and that piece looks like Keanu Reeves. So you fit Keanu Reeves in that puzzle piece hole, and it's awesome. The puzzle is complete.
There you go. And if you try to hammer Keanu Reeves into a puzzle where he does not fit...
Then you get him having an accent.
That's terrible.
Oh.
It's terrible just to think about.
Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Yeah, I mean...
That Shakespeare adaptation he was in? I think it was Much Ado About Nothing.
He was in Much Ado About Nothing, yeah. I forget which part he played in that. Not one of the funny
ones.
Doesn't matter. He didn't play one of the funny ones, which made it better. Like, Benedict and Beatrice, I think, are the funny ones.
Possibly.
I don't know if her name is Beatrice or not, but Bea something. Anyways, So sci-fi. What sci-fi theme can we take to the big screen?
Okay.
For $7,000.
So here's going to be the questions. Of sort of sci-fi conceits and concepts, what are the cheapest? So space is right out.
All right.
Space is right out.
Here's the thing. We live in Pittsburgh.
Right.
Post-apocalyptic could be done on the cheap. Just go to an old steel mill or something. It's like the apocalypse happened.
Yeah.
Zombie movie, not going to happen, though.
It's done. It's been done.
Well, it's just not going to work. There's no way we could get that many extras and makeup for that money.
No, you can...
It could be a zombie movie with one zombie.
That seems sad, though.
It could be, I mean, that I don't know. That seems sad. I don't know. You could make a survival horror movie with one zombie.
Okay, but I think let's continue. Okay.
The characters would not have any guns or anything. Uh-huh. They'd just be running for one zombie. It would just be really sad for them.
Okay, so, I mean, that's a possibility. The post-apocalypse is affordable. But, okay, space is right out.
Space would be difficult. We could do some things
you
could
do
with
a
space.
Ship. You could do a ship, maybe. But eventually maybe. You need a space money shot somewhere.
You need, you need the ship in space, which... I mean, aside from hanging a model in front of a black background.
Black sheet with pinholes cut in it.
Yeah,
pinholes.
It's probably not going to work.
Okay, so. Clones, you can do trick shooting, but I think that's mostly out.
All right, we could take that out.
It would have to be talkie clones. I don't know.
You know, I think, just thinking about it, I think you could make a lot of Ray Bradbury stories on the cheap. Not the one where they go back in time and hunt T-Rexes.
But. Also not the the crazy lion room one.
All right. No, not that one either.
Mm-hmm.
But you could... I feel like there are some stories you could steal from Ray Bradbury. Have you ever seen A Sound of Thunder?
I have not, no.
So that's my favorite Ray Bradbury short story, and it is the one where they go back in time and hunt dinosaurs.
Right. The most dangerous game.
Of course, for the movie version, they decided... Not really to focus on the part that is in the short story, but rather to make, like, monkey lizards attack.
So they had dinosaurs, and they went against dinosaurs because they had another thing that they would rather do?
Yeah.
That seems like the wrong answer categorically.
They kind of did not spend a lot of money on the dinosaur part, and instead had them fight a lot of monkey lizards.
That seems like a severe misstep.
Also, you know how, I think we had talked before about people, like, running from ice and stuff in sci-fi movies? Like, ridiculous chase scenes that involve things that don't chase you?
Yeah, we've talked about that.
I'm pretty sure in this one they run from time.
That's, like, a wave
a time wave. And I think they run from it.
If you slow down, you'll get old!
Or like reality shifts or something. I don't remember exactly, but they were running away from some ridiculous thing. I hate that. I really wish they would get rid of that stupid meme in science fiction.
I don't know. Here's
science fiction action movies.
Wait, here's a way you can flip it around, though. I think instead of ratcheting down the ridiculousness of a thing you're running away from, make it more conceptual. Run away from, like...
Oh, I got it. Run away from fear.
No, see, here's the thing, because here's the thing about science fiction, like, especially hard science fiction. You know, it's a science fiction of ideas, right? You know, people are talking about, you know, the concept of identity, you know, the meaning of self in a world of technology.
Right.
What if you're running away from that?
So you're running away from concepts of science fiction.
Like, run! It's a fractured notion of identity! You know,
I mean, honestly, a fractured notion of identity does kind of scare me, but...
Yeah, so run.
I wouldn't know which way to run, though.
You know? Oh my god! Coming over the horizon, moving towards us at 8 clicks a second. It's man's uneasy relationship with technology.
I like this idea, though, in a way.
Can we represent it for less than $7,000?
I think so. Because here's the thing.
Because no one knows what the concept of identity looks like.
Right. It doesn't even have to be a wave or, you know, crystals forming behind you. It could just be a guy running through the streets and he could just be doting on, you know, identity problems or our relationship with technology or something like that.
Yeah. Maybe he's in a scary mask. We could buy one of those at the store.
You know what you could do is, you could do a science fiction where you bring really boring people back from the dead. And I could make,
wait, and then they tell you about their job?
Maybe, yeah. Because, Primer's only 107 minutes.
Right.
So you bring a boring dude back, he will fill the time.
He takes 20 of those minutes just telling you about this time that Barb was at work with the memos.
With the memos. And then he's going to tell you about how hot it was wherever he was, you know.
It was heaven, too. Let's just say, because he's that boring.
He's that guy. It was just terrible. The harp playing just goes on and on. I can't stand it.
And then he gets destroyed by the incoming wave of man's uneasy relationship with technology.
Well, I mean, man's uneasy relationship with technology is already there because you have to ask yourself, if you have a machine that can bring people back to the dead, why are you bringing back boring people?
Hmm.
Yeah. That's a big question mark.
That's the question of a movie.
If you could bring back a boring dead person, who would it be?
Oh, man, throwing that boring qualifier in there makes that hard to answer.
Yeah, I would bring back Carl Sagan.
Let me tell you something. He's interesting. He's boring to talk to.
Yeah, I love Carl Sagan.
Can you count him as boring? Because he said the word billions a lot, and it was entertaining.
I've watched a lot of his series. What was the series called?
I'm pretty sure it was called Billions.
Yeah, something like that. I've watched a lot of that series. I have to say, he's boring. Like, I love him, and God bless him for trying to bring science to the forefront and really intriguing a lot of people.
Writing a terrible book about aliens that got made into a pretty terrible movie.
I've never read the book. The movie doesn't bother me. I don't know.
And the book was pretty crappy. I didn't like it at all.
All right, well, that's fine.
Freaking Contact.
But I have to say, I think he's pretty boring. I mean, thank you, Carl Sagan, for trying to bring science to the public, but
but do it better.
Yeah, get some more inflection in your voice, man. I mean, he just drones and drones. Mm-hmm. And I love science. And when I love science, and I will listen to almost anybody talk about the cosmos or anything else, but I'm watching him on his little TV series, which is also on the Netflix Instant Queue. Netflix, if you want to, hook us up with some
cash. Kick some cash in, that would be good.
Give us some kickbacks. Even free memberships will be fine, because we're both paying for it.
Out of curiosity, have you ever subscribed to Cosmo? Because that's disappointing. I'll just tell you right off the bat.
No.
Disappointing. Not what you expect at all.
Cosmos
Unless you look at the full title.
Cosmos
I don't.
is the name of the series, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? Maybe, I don't know.
And then there's the one for teenagers that was Cosmos Girl, I think.
Cosmos Girl, right. And, it was 10 ways to please your black hole, things like that.
There's.
I'll give you all 10 ways to please your black hole. Are you ready?
Go for it.
1 through 10, all feed it matter. I mean, that's pretty much just gets happier and happier.
Okay, so to sum up,
you could feed it energy too, honestly.
Well, yeah,
I guess I could throw that in there.
Matter, some speed of light, squared. Anyhow, to sum up. Just to put a button on this, we can carry on. I think, our sci-fi movie that we shoot for less than $7,000 goes like this. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I got a handle on it. We bring a boring person back from the dead. He just kind of goes on about his job for 20 minutes. He starts talking about what it was like to be dead. Then we get chased by a guy in a funny mask, which represents the uneasy relationship between man and technology. That's it?
Yeah.
That's what
now,
we got?
I like it. The problem is it breaks the very first rule that I came up with, which is that, we can't have some low concept, just, yammering on and on, big chill type movie.
Oh, man. This...
So instead...
No, it's mostly going to be running, though.
Remember,
it's a 90-minute movie. The guy's only blathering for 20 minutes.
That's too long. We cut that, all right?
We cut him?
Yeah. We bring him back, all right? And we're going to have to show some way through, smart use of dialogue, maybe a voiceover, that he's very, very boring. Then you got to bring in a foil, and the foil's like, why would you bring boring people back from the dead? This endangers our whole entire universe and the space-time continuum. Of being interested
in things.
Then the chase scenes with the guy in the mask. I think that's good, and we could probably do it low budget. And then the boring guy ends up killing the guy in the mask, who represents our... I think it's our tricky relationship with technology.
No, it's either man's complicated relationship with technology, or it could be our fractured sense of identity, if maybe somehow the boring man is also us.
Right, no. The boring man kills the guy who represents our fractured sense of identity. And
they take the mask
off. That's synthesis, right. We take the mask off, and it's the boring guy.
Ooh.
Right?
Ooh.
No, wait, that doesn't make sense.
No, right. No, keep it. I don't care. Keep it. It's awesome.
We take the mask off, and it's the guy who invented the machine that brings people back, boring people back from the dead, yep. Who died after his machine was perfected, and who is really boring.
You know, that's fine. Honestly, I'm on board with any ending where it's take off the guy's mask, and it's some guy that's crazy for it to be. I'm on board with any of that.
Is that like the Scooby-Doo ending, pretty much?
No, because the Scooby-Doo ending is a guy who it's entirely reasonable for it to be.
Sometimes.
Like, it's... No, this is what it would be like if at the end of a Scooby-Doo episode, you take off the mask and it's Daphne. See, you know, it's a mindfucker.
Yeah, that's
fucker.
What... A mind fucker. Yeah, it's a mindfuck. That's what I was going for. But here's the thing. Scooby-Doo taught me two things as I was growing up.
I'll tell you what it taught me.
One, okay. The first thing is, mm-hmm. There's a reasonable explanation
for everything.
Most every phenomena. Until you get to the 13 ghosts of Scooby-Doo, then it goes all out the window.
Yeah.
But let's just take Scooby-Doo, the original stuff. So first, reasonable explanation
for everything.
Just the
original continuity, please.
Second, mm-hmm. The grumpy guy, even though you don't like him, usually isn't the guy at fault.
Yeah.
Because there's always a grumpy guy in the episode who's like, get off my lawn! And you're like, that's the bad guy.
It's never him.
And it's never him.
You know what Scooby-Doo taught me?
So I love grumpy people to this mm-hmm. day.
It's true. But the main thing that I learned from Scooby-Doo is that the Harlem Globetrotters are not as funny as you'd want them to be.
And welcome back to I'm Trying to Think, episode 3. This last segment here could be a bit of a downer.
You're taking us to some dark places?
I'm going to take you to a dark place.
Okay, is it about your fractured sense of identity?
In a way.
Okay.
I don't know that my life is worth living anymore.
Okay, continue.
All right. I only have one thing.
Wait, hold on.
What?
Quick question. Are you actually right now holding a blade?
Yeah, I am. It's an X-Acto knife.
Could you put that down?
All right,
I don't feel comfortable with you holding that right
now. All
right.
It's not that dark of a place, hopefully.
Maybe, though.
We'll see how this conversation goes.
Wait, what are you holding right now? Is that pliers?
A pair of pliers.
Could you put those down? I don't feel comfortable.
All right, my hands are empty now.
Okay.
You feel all right?
Not going to ply your wrists?
Not going to ply... I'm plying my wrists.
No, I think you could make that work if you grip and rip. I think you could kill yourself.
That would hurt a lot, man. Well, I am not doing that. What, am I crazy? All right, listen.
Possibly.
I'm just saying
Continue.
My life is not worth living. Okay?
Okay.
The only thing... Okay, I used to look forward to, like, new seasons of Lost.
Right.
New seasons of Battlestar Galactica. Things like that, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, Battlestar Galactica is over, and it... Honestly, I think it kind of ended shittily. I didn't like a lot of the last episode.
I totally argue and debate with you, but I haven't even started that shit yet, so
right,
I got nothing.
It's still worth watching. I just think that it ends shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Lost, this is the last season of Lost.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it. It looks like it's going to be great. But then it's going to be over.
Right.
Okay.
Well, except for the Christmas special.
Yeah, except in the zombie 7th season or whatever.
Yeah.
But, and they could end it the same way those Battlestar Galactica douchebags ended their series. By basically, if I can just be succinct, Battlestar Galactica basically took a show that was awesome and character-driven over, like, being lore-driven. So it was awesome and character-driven. And then, like, for the last half of the last season, they decided to make it, like, lore-driven, like, you know, universe-driven. So, like, they were going to explain, like, the world that they were living in and stuff.
Right.
Got away from the characters, and it sucked. Lost is very character-driven. They could do the same shit. It could be mythology, all mythology in the sixth season, and end on some stupid mythology note instead of giving us the character resolution.
Yeah, it's funny, because I feel like a lot of people actually would, like, I feel like the people who don't like Lost anymore, like, who liked it and then jumped off the bus at some point, had exactly that same complaint about it, like, comparing the first season to other seasons, but
I would disagree. I would disagree with them. But anyways.
Yeah, anyway, moving on, because we're not, like, a TV criticism thing. That gives me only Lost
to look forward to, okay? Mm-hmm. The Mighty Boosh, I don't know if there's going to, I don't know if there's any more seasons. I don't know anything about the Brits. They're weird. The Doctor Who thing, there's a new season of Doctor Who, but I don't know when it's coming to America. I don't know in what way. And it's a new Doctor who looks kind of like a douchebag.
Okay, well.
An emo douchebag.
I'm going to throw a couple things out.
No, I'm not done, okay?
Okay, fine.
This, I mean, this all sucks. And let me tell you something that I'm like, just, I just dread every day. It waking fills up? Me with dread.
Is it waking up?
No.
Is it facing another day?
No. It's when SpongeBob SquarePants stops being good. Because it's gonna happen. Right? I'm already afraid of that.
Won't they just keep showing the same, like, 12 episodes anyway? So you're good? The ones that they already show?
Yeah, but if a show goes bad, then it's hard to watch the good episodes. I mean, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, I'm afraid of the same thing. Somehow they keep turning out gold, but it can't last forever, man. It just can't.
Nothing lasts forever.
What am I going to have to do? I just don't think there's ever going to be better television than Lost. I'm kind of just
depressed.
Yeah, I'm depressed.
Concerned.
I'm depressed.
Okay.
It's like my wife has cancer. That's kind of what it's like, you know? You know it's going to end, and I just dread it. Okay, maybe it's not that
That's
serious.
A dire fucking comparison.
Yeah, maybe it's that not is, that
that's
serious.
That's dire.
But I it's think bad, is all I'm saying. It's bad.
Yeah, okay. So, I'll try and talk you off the ledge.
Yeah,
before you get before you just
the X-Acto blade.
You're ready to grip and rip with those pliers.
It's looking like my friend.
You're ready to grip and rip with those pliers.
That
and I'm
sounds
not,
so painful.
That sounds horrible, yeah. Like,
if you were going to kill yourself, you wouldn't do it in the most painful way possible, would you?
I don't know.
Are
maybe.
You one of those freaks, man?
I don't know. Didn't Elliot Smith, like, stab it? Well, I think people think it might have been his girlfriend, but if not, he stabbed himself in the gut. I mean, ow.
Yeah, that's not a good way to go.
Okay, but
he probably, let me tell you how that probably went if he did do it himself. Stab. Oh, this was a bad idea. Oh, why did I do that?
You know,
just like that for like an hour.
Probably.
Anyways.
Okay, so trying to talk you off this ledge.
Yeah.
Okay, things you have to look forward to when you run it. Basically, this is a concern that you're running out of television to watch.
Right.
Right.
And there's nothing new on the horizon, man, because there's no money. It's all talk shows now. They're just all going to do reality TV shows because they're cheap.
Okay, so I'm going to throw a couple things out at you. One, and I almost feel like this isn't worth mentioning, but it, you know, to people of, you know, perhaps our generation or just possibly to you specifically, I don't know, but I feel like you almost have to say this. Can you think of anything to look forward to that's not television?
No.
Okay. So far we've got, in terms of things you
maybe
might...
Maybe movies?
Okay, so right now it's basically more good television or the cold embrace of death is where you're at.
Yeah. Do you think there'll ever be a Lord of the Rings 4?
Because
I would look forward to that.
Yeah, Guillermo del Toro shooting the Hobbit thing.
Dave, Hobbit, come on.
And I'm going to say, I finally got around to seeing Pan's Labyrinth recently. Guillermo del Toro. I'm interested in what he's going to do for the Hobbit.
I like Pan's Labyrinth. But I will never watch it again because there are parts of it that are just so deeply disturbing to me, that I just don't want to see them again.
Huh.
It's mostly like they're just violence. There's violence in that movie that actually disturbs me, bothers me. Like, violence in most movies does not bother me at all because it's cartoonish. the violence in Pan's Labyrinth is, like, very real and very brutal, and it bothers me. So I will not be watching that again. Pan's Labyrinth 2, won't be going to see that one. If he's making The Hobbit, where The Hobbit gets his, like, cheek cut open, I'm not going.
Gollum with a little Glasgow smile, you're not excited for that.
No.
Okay, so television, Cold Embrace of Death.
Yeah, that's my choice right now.
The Venture Brothers is going to have a new season or two.
I feel good about that, but here's the thing. And this is just, this haunts me day and night.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Venture Brothers is probably going to end before its time, you know? It's not going to get a nice, smooth, just ending.
Like, I don't know, they've got like two more seasons at least, so.
I know, but it's going to happen. It's just, not everything can go. Like, here's the thing. I used to really be in favor of shows just ending when, at a set time. I was kind of pleased that Battlestar Galactica knew they only had one season left and had the time to finish it. Then I saw the last episode. And I was like, oh, crap. You could still fuck up an entire series. Even if you know when you're going to shoot the ending. They had time to end it exactly how they wanted. And that was the ending they gave
me. Well, yeah, you just didn't like the way they exactly wanted to end it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up loving Twin Peaks, okay? Twin Peaks was canceled. Right, because
that's a show that you like when you grow up.
Yeah,
Twin Peaks was canceled. It's a good kids show.
It's a good kids show, but Twin Peaks was canceled midway in its, I think, second or third series, I forget. But, and so, it was rushed to end it, and it was terrible.
I know, but surely all of those confusing questions you had were answered with startling clarity in Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me.
Dave, I will punch you in the dick.
Oh.
So I grew up, I guess I just grew up disappointed because I was a big Twin Peaks fan, and I can't even remember another show that I liked when I was young.
Scooby-Doo, apparently.
Well, I mean, cartoons like Scooby-Doo and Transformers, but those don't really, I mean, the plot in those is so thin that it doesn't really matter where it ends. I mean, if Transformers the movie didn't make me hate Transformers forever, nothing will.
That's freaking very true.
Rodimus Prime takes over the Autobot Matrix of Leadership. And there we've lost half our listeners. All right, excellent.
And half our hosts.
So anyways,
I could give a shit about the Transformers.
Oh, shut up. I just don't know what to look forward to. I mean, will there be a Lost spinoff series, maybe? Like, I have to think in my brain, I just love the Lost universe so much. I might have to go read Lost fanfic after it's over.
I don't know if you play that video game that was supposed to be pretty crappy.
No, thanks. Maybe there'll be a Lost role-playing game. I can run my own Lost. I don't know.
You sound like you're having, like, withdrawal anticipation problems.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, you got the shakes. You got the shakes.
Anticipated day when I don't
think
be like,
even if you wanted to, you know, grip it and rip it, I think your hands are too shaky to hold those pliers right now.
I'm hurting, Dave.
It's bad.
I'm
hurting.
I just don't know. Somebody's got to come up with another show, man. Somebody's got to come up with something fresh. I'm just not, I don't know, not finding anything. And they canceled Firefly. I know I'm reaching back into the past, but...
Have you considered Thorazine?
Maybe I could just go back and rewatch all of Lost.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I guess that's something to look forward
to. We'll monitor this situation for reasons for you to have hope on the horizon.
Dave.
Yeah.
How about you... and I pretend like we've never seen Lost before. And then we watch it and talk about it like we've never seen it before.
I know, that seems like... I feel like that's like, you know, Vertigo and we're putting, you know, the wig on Kim Novak. You know, that seems creepy to me.
I don't mind the creepiness. Just, it'll be ironic too, because we'll say things where there's a dramatic irony where we know what we're saying...
Is
either wrong or is right in ways we don't yet understand. Yeah, see, we're adding levels to it. It's like a whole new thing.
Okay.
All right, but when we do this, can you dress up like Locke for me?
Not after you molested me like 3 Halloweens ago, no.
Oh, well. I guess that ship has sailed. Okay, well, this has been I'm Trying to Think, episode 3. next week we'll be broadcasting, theoretically, on my birthday. We keep pushing Saturday back to Sunday, but I want to keep stabbing at Saturday and trying to get it done then.
All right, we'll make the magic happen.
We will make the magic happen. So happy birthday to me, and it'll be happy fourth week anniversary to I'm trying to think.
I mean,
we will see you.
Are we supposed to like buy ourselves a diamond?
I don't think a fourth week anniversary is a diamond.
Oh shit! That's why all my relationships are so fucking expensive.
That's true. I think De Beers would enjoy you spreading that rumor around, though. So thank you for tuning in, and we'll be here next week to bring you more oral pleasure. That's oral pleasure.
Yeah, with the AU, it's, you know, we're not even making a pun, so don't even go there.
Oral pleasure. Say goodnight, Dave.
Goodnight, folks.